present, there's a Kopenin, Boucher, Menard, Davidson, Ellison, Donley. The only bill on our agenda today is House Bill 182, relating to the Power Cost Equalization Program. In your packets, there's a proposed committee substitute. Basically, it does four things. If you'll remember, this was a bill from the governor's office that reduced the program by some 20%. The committee substitute incorporates some legislative findings and spells out the history and goals of the Power Cost Equalization Program. It refers to the state's fiscal inability to maintain the program at its existing current level. Secondly, it establishes a state level or a state policy that all Alaskans should be guaranteed a certain level of electrical power at affordable rates as a lifeline or universal service. And thirdly, it reduces the level of the power cost equalization subsidy by 50 kilowatt hours per year for 5 years, beginning with the 500 kilowatt cap that's suggested in the governor's bill, until it reaches a 250 kilowatt hour a month level, which is established as a lifeline right for all Alaskans. It's continuing indefinitely for all Alaskans. Fourthly, it removes the language from House Bill 182 that would have made most commercial users ineligible for the power cost equalization subsidy. If the proposed committee substitute is acceptable, I'd like to adopt it for purposes of discussion and proceed from there.
We have CS for House Bill 182 labor comment as a bill for discussion.
Okay, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion passes. I'd like to speak a little more of the committee substitute. If you remember, the testimony that we've had so far, both subcommittee and before the committee, was that the governor's bill, which excluded the commercial utilization of power cost equalization, would have been quite a hardship on the bush, in that those commercial users have their own capability of generating electricity, and if they were exempted from the program, they would simply opt to use their own generators, thus driving the volume factor out of the program and driving the rates up considerably for all the non-commercial users. We've been joined by Representative Furness, and we're on House Bill 182, and the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute has been adopted by the committee for purposes of discussion. And what I'd like to do at this time is, now that we've run through the committee substitute, and give Representative Furness a chance to look at it too.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. Is to go ahead and pick some pictures so Representative Boucher can take off. He needs to. He's been having some medical problems. So
you need to
watch out for our people here. Marino, try from the end of the table, maybe.
Yes,
sir.
Huh?
No.
This is my best side.
This is your best side.
I've tried that cure before.
What do you want to do? Get a ball head?
I would suggest you shoot from the end of the table.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't like
the aerial view.
Yeah, you can bounce that off my head.
Yeah, glare.
That makes a good skip.
Sunscreen, actually.
Okay, maybe if we could lean in.
And
vivitize
a little.
All
right.
One more.
Okay.
All right.
All right, why don't you wait till we get a chance here?
Okay.
Sure. Action shots.
Okay. Ray, do you want to pose for one more here before we go on?
Okay.
No, Terry's not here.
One more time, I had my hand in the chairman. Look happy.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Has this been worked out without, excuse me, Mr. Chairman?
We've just worked it out in our own subcommittee from the testimony that we took. I guess the main change, of course, is the slowly decreasing level of the level and the bringing back in the commercial users. That's the main aspect, which was the test program.
Mr. Chairman, I have tried to talk to the rural communities. And I
to take another look at it. Yeah, we have it scheduled for next Tuesday's calendar, so they give everybody a chance to look at it, think about it, and come back Tuesday prepared to take some sort of action. On the fiscal impact of it, it's important to remember that it's an existing statutory program, and the language both in this and the governor's legislation, and I think it's existing legislation, is it only gets funded to the amount of the appropriated funds for that year. And then it gets prorated out according to how much the appropriation from the legislature is for that particular year. So that if there's the governor's proposed budget, which reduces the level by about 20% in his revised budget, it'd simply be prorated out for the program. Are there any members of the public here to testify on House Bill 182 today?
Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. All right. If the public includes the administration, I would like to go first.
Good prayer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Jack Kreinheder with the Division of Policy in the Office of the Governor. I just received the committee substitute, as I understand you did a few minutes ago, but I would like to offer a couple of comments on it. I will have the power authority, assuming you will be passing this version or a similar version out, I will have them do a revised fiscal note based on that committee substitute. But I have made a couple of sort of back-of-the-envelope calculations just to give you an idea of what the fiscal effect would be, mainly of that change on commercial customers. The governor's budget, and there's some revised information, so these figures will be different than what you have in your fiscal note on the governor's bill, but the governor's proposal, which funded only commercial customers up to 1,000 kilowatt hours, who used less than 1,000 kilowatt hours per month, would have allocated about $1.4 million for that class, for those commercial customers. And again, these calculations are rough, but my estimate under the language you've got in the committee substitute is that you would reduce the cost for commercial customers under the current program by about 20%. Under the current program, if there were no change going into fiscal 88, commercial customers would take about $3.8 million. So the governor's bill would have knocked that down to about 1.4. My rough estimate of what you would reduce the full requirement for under current law would be to reduce it from about 3.8 million by about 1.4 million down to about, and that would require about 1.6 million then for that class. So basically what you would be proposing here would add about, again, roughly about 1.4 million to the cost of the program. So looking at the total figure, you'd be bumping up the total cost from about $14.3 million under the governor's version to about $15.9, roughly $16 million under this approach. And I would add that...
Were you increasing it or were you decreasing it?
No, you are decreasing it by substantially less than the governor's bill would have. Let me run through it just real quickly again. For commercial customers, under current law, the Power Authority expects they would need about $3.8 million. The governor's bill would have decreased that all the way down to about $1.4 million. The committee substitute would decrease it to roughly $1.6 million. Excuse me, I gave you a wrong figure there. Yeah. The committee substitute would only decrease it from $3.8 million down to $3 million. So that's the additional cost you're looking at is $1.4 million under the governor's bill. Plus 1.6 million brings up to the $3 million figure. Sorry for the confusion. So you would only be saving about 20% off of current law. The problem is you've got a large number of commercial customers who are under 750 kilowatt hours and actually under 500. So, for example, if every commercial customer were using more than 750, and you lowered the cap as you have done by one third, you would naturally save about one third of the program requirements. But since there's already a substantial number under 500, my estimate is you'd save only about 20%. So you would still need about $3 million instead of $3.8 million for that class. That would bump up your total cost for the program by about $1.6
million. So, I'm looking at a document here.
Yeah,
that fiscal note. It shows here the full funding would be $2.8, $2.79. But the governor was recommending 648.
Yes, there has been a revision, Representative Furness, in that figure. The power authority had some revised information. I apologize for not making that available sooner. And that shows that commercial would. What the revised figures did is said that residential customers would need less under the program, which would make more available for commercial.
So the new commercial figure is what then?
Under the governor's version would be 1.4 million, and I'll make a copy of this available for
okay.
you.
Okay. Now, so the government's 1.4. The full funding would be
3.8.
No. And the CS would make it 3?
Right, just about 3 million.
So then we are still... Okay,
and again, we'll get you a final estimate on that by Tuesday.
That being the first year of operation, and unlike the governor's proposal in this legislation, each year following it come down by 50 kilowatt hours.
So eventually, maybe within 2 or 3 years, you'd reach the same cost. The one other point I wanted to make is I understood from Ginger, I haven't actually seen it in the bill, that the committee substitute would include the provision from the governor's bill. Yes, I see it here, that if there were a shortfall, that the commission, the APUC, would fully fund, would give a priority first to residential, then community facilities, then commercial. So the point being, if the governor's budget were in fact adopted and there were only $14.3 million available for the program, the shortfall would still be coming out of commercial customers. But there is a difference because, as I understand it, the commission would prorate that equally across all commercial customers. So the difference is that even though you'd be saving roughly the same amount of money out of the commercial class, under the committee substitute, you would be taking it out of everybody rather than large commercial. So people even just using, say, 300 kilowatt hours, a small store, would have a rate increase rather than just the large commercial customers as they would under the governor's bill. Other than that, again, I haven't had a chance to go completely through the bill, but that's the extent of my comments at this time. Any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
Any questions, Representative Copeland?
Yes, since this does affect the budget and the next committee of referral is resource, in other words, bill will be heard again and you have to prepare a new fiscal note. Would you prefer us to continue to work on it in this committee or to pass it on to resources?
I think we would prefer you to pass it on to resources. Actually, the bill is, I had been hoping you might pass it out today, and the bill is tentatively scheduled in resources for Tuesday. I don't have any problem delaying that until later in the week, recognizing that the committee members haven't had a chance to look at it.
Representative Danson?
I want resources, so I don't object to passing the bill out, but I certainly wouldn't want to do pass at this point. So if you're in the interest of expediting the bill, I would withdraw any objection that we had as far as moving out of this committee.
I just wonder, I hope Kurt and Red did
go away.
Yeah. I don't want to do this again.
No, I don't Kurt has not acknowledged to me that he had any concerns. He'll get a shot at it.
Okay. Could we give Representative Boucher's office a call and ask if they've got a particular concern about this legislation? Because the Cliff's withdrawing his objection to moving it today. And I don't want to step on anybody. So, thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll get you that final or a better fiscal estimate by Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ken Johnson, did you wish to attempt to come?
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Watch it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ken Johnson, and I'm the Director of Information for the Alaska Rural Electric Cooperative Association in Anchorage. And I will limit my testimony because I did have extensive recommendations in terms of changing the formula for PCE the last time that this bill was before the committee. First of all, just taking a look at these findings and reading them carefully, It really highlights the positive aspects of the Power Cost Equalization Program. And if you were just to look at this, you would think that this is a bill that rewards that improvement that it's made in the rural communities. However, I understand that the administration has taken an aim of cutting this program 20%. But we certainly do concur with all the findings of this particular, in this section, and that it shows how important that the program is to rural Alaska. And to cut it significantly and arbitrarily by 20% without a detailed analysis of what the long-term implications or impacts are, simply to meet a 20% budget proposal cut is not a prudent public policy decision. I would like to commend the work of Mr. Kreinheder. I don't think that he arbitrarily chose certain things within the program itself to cut, but to cut the program, simply cut programs 20% as a short-term fix on a budget solution, we don't feel is a good policy, and we would oppose Senate bill, or I'm sorry, the committee substitute for House Bill 182 in its current form.
Ken, your opposition then is to the whole concept of any cut in the program, then not specifically to the committee substitute.
Well, we don't necessarily oppose cutting the program, but we would like to see, we don't want to see the program cut in the short term by a certain percentage to make, you know, this year's budget without taking a long-term look at how are we permanently going to finance the program, to what extent will the program continue, and what are the best ways to redo the program so that it best benefits the rural consumers as a permanent long-term program. So we propose maintaining full funding for the program as we work, the utilities and the administration, the legislature, work toward establishing a long-term program that that looks at establishing the best energy systems with the most efficient use in the rural areas. That's our ultimate goal. This program has certainly gone a long ways in doing that, and we think it can be improved, but would hate to see it be cut severely in the short term as we put together a long-term plan.
And just to get back to the question, I mean, your opposition runs as well to the governor's proposal because it cuts even more than the committee substitute proposals.
Right. Yes. Right. We made suggestions as if you have to reduce the program to the budget to meet certain budget cuts in a different formula that we were opposed to the way that the governor's bill reduced the program.
Is there anything else?
Ken, I sympathize with your call for looking at the long-term effects. I think that applies to this program and a whole bunch of others that we're in the position of having to cut this year. And I just would say to you that full funding is not an option for just about any program that the state is involved in this year. So could we get you to comment on the prioritization that the governor's encompassed in his legislation? That trade-off that he's made between residential ratepayers and commercial users.
Well, the thing, our main concern is not only the immediate impact in terms of electricity rates to the residential consumers by advocating an equal cut in all classes, but that the overall impact on the community as a whole, in terms of by reducing, you know, the commercial and community facility rates. How does that impact the whole community? How will it affect the economy base? And the governor has given priority to specifically subsidizing a portion of residential rates. And our people in the rural areas feel that by prioritizing that and cutting back more in other areas, that the overall impact may be far more significant than realized.
To follow up on that line of questioning, that's what we were trying to address in the committee substitute by, and that was the testimony we heard, that by cutting out the commercial users, you're going to actually have a negative impact on the overall rates of the residential users as the the large commercial users drop out and utilize their own generating facilities. So the committee seems to make some progress in that area.
Well, it certainly does in putting commercial back in it. Our recommendation was that rather than cut the cat, that you would raise the entry-level threshold from 8.5 cents up to 10 or 11 or 12 cents or whatever is necessary to meet the maximum cut. You still subsidize 750 kilowatt hours above, or you would actually subsidize 95% of the cost of 750 kilowatt hours above 11.25 cents. And we chose 11.25 cents because that's the highest cost of residential power in the Rail Belt area. Fairbanks pays 11.25 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's why we chose that particular figure. And our utility managers that work daily in the residential areas feel that that's a better way to reduce the program than to cut the cap.
I have
a
follow-up question. Well, the 11-cent mark, which is the Fairbanks rate, right? The current subsidy pays in existing both the governor's plan and the committee plan provide for 95% of the amount over that. That non-subsidized 5%, doesn't that bring the effective rate up to about 13 cents?
Well, it depends on the utility and the different rate.
Right.
And what their surcharge for fuel is. If we set aside the surcharge that a utility tax on for the cost of fuel, which it's allowed to do, and just basically the kilowatt hour cost is, most of the utilities run somewhere in the 10 to 11 cent range. So, and there's a variation higher to that dependent upon other costs. But I know that a number of the utilities are subsidized down to around that 10 or 11% range. So, to raise it up, yes, their rates would be slightly, they would not, certainly if it were 11.25% and they were paying, 95%, then there is a 5% that would be, increased, that increase would certainly be evident, given they would be paying 5% of the total kilowatt hours times, whatever their kilowatt hour cost is.
Are there further questions from members of the committee? Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Are there any further members of the public testify on the proposed committee substitute? Seeing no testimony, and we haven't heard back from Representative Boucher's office, who was going to let us know if we didn't want to move it. Can we try one more time? I just want to be careful. Next committee referral with individual recommendations. Okay, realizing that both the administration and the REAs will be going to resources with their additional proposals. Where the Davis Institute always pays to be forewarned. I'm going to.
You want to amend
go
to the
motion?
Do you have a suggestive amendment?
The amendment would be pending a negative response from.
That would make me take 20 minutes.
He is lost.
He's
somewhere
lost.
Between here and the fourth floor. He's never made it back to his office.
We accept that. Can it just be an understanding here at the committee that if we pass it out unless Red has a particular problem?
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay? All right. The motion is to pass the bill with individual recommendations unless Representative Boucher raises an objection to it sometime today.
In regard to this, I've been following the facility of the Belt School, which was built by the state and later turned over to the Nome Public School District. I think we pay Nome $172,000 to heat and light the unused portion of the building because it's much too large a building. It built a regional vocational center. However, the district has been pursuing active retrofitting of the building for energy savings, heat savings. I think they've achieved a savings of 40%, which is enormous. and their last project is going to be an installation of a diesel generator, the surplus heat of which will go into the heating circuit as well as providing the balancing power and light for the installation floating on the city line. And that will, you know, enormously, I don't know what the cumulative savings are, but there's something in the neighborhood of like 80% of the original chemical cost for the building. So, pursuit of efforts like that will also help in rural areas. That ties in sort of with this.
The motion before us is to pass the bill, send the bill to the next committee referral with individual recommendations, pending notification of Representative Boucher. Any objections to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion passes. Walt and I could just get together. If you've got a minute, we've got some happy hour language here, Walt.
I've got some too, so.
Is there something you want to bring before the committee?
Yeah, if you want to. If you want to handle it, you know, maybe against Jerry, I might want to come on over too. I just heard that he, Mike Art, and some people.
Well, now we're under the committee agenda of committee, proposed committee legislation is the item on the agenda. And Jerry, would you like to join us?
Sure.
And the particular piece of proposed committee agenda is the happy hour amendment. We do have this on the calendar for discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Chairman, if I may just share, we went through the letter from the attorney Michael White and noted the objections in the bill, and a couple of things we would suggest doing on the second page of the document of the bill, and if we could go to the third page of the letter from Mr. White.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have proposed some language that would go to item subsection 6, line 1 of the bill. The language would be knowingly encourage and knowingly permit an organized game of contest. We would suggest that we add the language knowingly encourage, comma, promote, and permit an organized game of contest. The concern here is that the licensee should not encourage someone to participate or at least have a game of chance on premise whereby the reward or the prize would be a can of beer or a bottle of whiskey or whatever. And one of the concerns is that the owner may not be aware of this.
Right.
So if he does not knowingly encourage, promote, and permit the activity, then that somewhat absorbs him there. The other suggestion.
Oh, is then first before we go to the next one. I just had a question. So it'd be knowingly encourage, promote, or permit.
And permit. Right.
Is there a reason
to do it all?
If it's an and, then you'd have to do all of them. If it's an or, then it'd be illegal to knowingly encourage, to knowingly promote, or to knowingly permit.
Well, the granted, you're aware that it would take they would have to permit all three for that to comply.
Chris, Mr. Reinwald?
Well, that would be the preference. If it's going to be a big problem, we'll go with the or. We're trying to take her language and do something with it as well.
Right. Is there a suggestion to that, or is
it's down at the bottom?
Yeah, the comment is that the significant thing is adding the word knowingly. It's just that I don't think that we want to limit it to all three of those events happening before it's illegal activity.
Intent there was to take their language and be able to be creative.
I don't have a particular personal problem with it. It's just that I don't know if it's going to fly with who we've got to go up.
My suggestion, Mr. Chairman, is let's put it in the draft. In fact, I've asked him to put in this to go ahead and have a draft made up, and we'll just submit it back. If we could put it in the draft, if it doesn't fly, then we can change it there. Yeah. Anyway, whatever the committee, but that was the suggestion, at least for the draft, just to look at it.
Okay, well.
I tell you what, let's go through the rest of the recommendation, and then we can see how it all plays. On the last page, they wanted to add a number 7
This is page four of the letter from the attorney, the last page of the letter.
Oh, I see.
There's a number seven that would go on line four, page two. And it would be compatible to go there.
What happens if they run out?
What's that?
What happens if they run out?
If they run out of the...
I have a problem with ringless. They keep running out of ringless.
Mr. Chairman, this is aimed at, there are some abuses, at least this is what we think. I'm not trying to second guess what they're targeting at, but there are some abuses in Anchorage where they would only, like, have Ham's beer available from 4 to 7, right, at a price. It technically meant the happy hours law or municipal ordinance, but it, and probably the state law, but it was clearly a violation of what the intent was. Because supposedly it would be available for a week at that price, but only from 4 until 7.
Jerry, maybe you should say, did you state your name?
I'm sorry, Jerry Reinwald, I represent Char.
Okay, what's Char's position on it?
We don't have any problem. I mean, it's that kind of activity gets the whole industry in trouble. So this is what they're trying to get at, and we support it. We don't have any problem with it. Unless you follow these things, what's happening hither and yon with creative ideas is probably something the rest of the committee wouldn't be aware of. But Anchorage, this has been a real problem. And it just causes, it isn't now, but it was last summer. And just this language would prohibit that from occurring. We support it.
Okay. Well, did you have another?
No, that was the basic two would be to number six, to put the knowingly encourage, promote, and permit. No, if you want to change it to or permit, that's the committee's decision. The second would be to add the number seven, which is their recommendation. So what we've done is taken it loose, at least two recommendations out of the document, amended it into the bill, or changed the bill in order to address that. And hopefully the trade-off is that the other things that they didn't come in that are changing would be sufficient. There are a couple of the things that the industry feel that it probably will need for inventory control, for better handling of their affairs. For example, line 21, page 1, the change from week to day was not commented on in the letter. So we assume that that's not a big item of concern.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to Catherine
about
that?
Yes, I did. Well, I didn't talk about anything of any specifics. I did get my lash in this morning, early, 8:30
to be exact. I'm willing to do a CS, another committee draft that would save day, and then forward a copy to her and see what kind of response we get. If that's the will of the committee.
That would be my suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, why don't I have Stan draft up another version of this? It's a little cleaner shot at it, incorporating there some Bigner's suggestion on paragraph 7, and put that knowingly language into there also.
Okay.
And David?
Mr. Chairman, knowingly encourage or promote or permit? Are we going to use two ors there?
No, I'll use one.
I think we just use one. I think we say knowingly encourage, promote, or permit.
The recommendation would be to use and, but again,
what do you think, Jerry?
That's fine.
I think that's pretty. Yes.
One other thing, Mr. Chairman, and Mrs. Bigner's letter, she raised the issue of what constitutes entertainment, and Representative Furness kindly and Representative Menard kindly spent their time for about an hour. And I guess this would be maybe a group. We're having our attorney look at maybe defining what is not entertainment. But their point, it's a legitimate point, and their point is, if the concept of the day instead of the week is adopted, you could theoretically have a person who has a, I'll probably get this backwards, but has a jukebox, and he said, that's entertainment, okay, and from when I open my doors at 8 until 5 o'clock in the morning, beer is $2 a bottle. I pull the plug on my jukebox, I no longer have entertainment. I drop my prices from 5 until 8, in effect, kicking in a happy hour. At 8 o'clock, I plug my jukebox back in, I'm back on entertainment, and I charge more. I think that's what they're getting at with this. And we agree that it's a logical issue that if the committee would want to try to address, we're certainly open on it. I mean, we can see a potential abuse there. And the problem is every time you nudge in one direction, it's like a waterbed. You get a push in another direction. And so I don't know if we'll ever solve the problem with the person, that creates everybody trouble is trying to skirt the edges. But we think this is a legitimate public policy issue. We'd like to see it addressed. Our people are going to try to draft some language. The way we're going now is to try to define what entertainment is, and then Representative Furness has given a direction to his staff to look at statutory definitions of entertainment. But this is one that wasn't mentioned, may not be able to get from here to there, but their point is a good point. And we'd like to get there, too.
I think it's been mentioned by Ms. Midler to staff that there was a major concern about that.
Well, I would just like to express that, and this is expressed a little bit in the letter that was telecopied today, is that the MAD remains opposed to every change that's proposed in this bill. They're totally opposed to it. They only, in this letter, only addressed what they considered the worst aspects of the bill.
Oh.
Okay. But there is nothing that is being proposed in this bill that is in any way acceptable to MAD. That has been told several times to me by Ms. Bigler for hours on end in the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Just to remind the committee where we're at on this is nothing's been filed. We're just working on a possible committee proposal. It's just sitting here on the table before us.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I don't understand. She doesn't even want to talk about it. That's
oh, no, she's conversing. He's a decent person. She's talking about it. Well, Ginger's correct. When she talked to me this morning, we did not talk in any specifics. I explained that it was a draft document, unlike the normal course where you would introduce the legislation, put it on the table officially. It was a draft document being unofficially looked at, and then she would have an opportunity to review any type of a document before the action would take place. So it is being handled a little different.
Yeah, I think in this case, it's, does the committee have any problem with the way we're dealing with this? Okay, I want to make sure that you know we're dealing with this real delicately because of the, you know, the political ramifications of this whole area. We want to deal with something that's fair to the industry, but we want to be careful how we do it.
We appreciate your cooperation, everybody. It's just a tough issue. I mean, I don't know why we didn't fix it last year. But just one thing that slipped through.
Okay. Are there any further questions or comments?
Just one comment. I'd ask my staff to, when they talked to Ford about redrafting. I didn't think we would get to it this quick, so I was going to go ahead and have a document drafted to incorporate those changes. But, Jenny, if you're going to do it, maybe you can ask Mike to maybe give some consideration to a definition of entertainment.
Okay. My understanding is that I should get another draft that is just what we have before us, with the change regarding knowingly encouraged, permitted, and adding paragraph 7 from the letter.
Jerry, there was an agreement reached the other night, too, that the first section, paragraph A, that wasn't necessary to amend the existing language there, that it'd be okay if we just left that the way it was. That was the thing that seemed to exempt the liability of the holder if it was an agent or an employee doing things.
Mr. Chairman, that's right. And I've tried, of course, Mike Gordon is the one who's brought this out as an issue. And I think there are some concerns that other operators have. I've tried to show him the background from last year where we actually have on paper, a paper trail, a dialogue from Senator Fake's office and the legislative director, Mike Ford, that I think protects his concerns and covers his concerns. But his point is this puts it to rest, this is clearer, and why should anybody have a problem with it? So, and that's a pretty hard thing to argue against, I don't know. But I guess just if the politics of it is such that it's better to take it out. In my own personal view, they're covered. I mean, I think that there's a paper trail from last year that clearly shows that a bar owner wants to give someone a drink because they're late getting to a table for dinner or something, that was clearly okay. And we had agreement with the MAD people on that last year. That was not an issue. So I guess Mike's concern is, how big a problem is this? And it wasn't mentioned in the MAD letter, so.
There was subparagraph 1. I was thinking more about subparagraph A, the language in A. Line 10.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Ms. Bigler's remarks were that this appeared to exempt any liability for actions of agents or employees.
Oh.
And that was the part I was wondering. Okay. If it's okay if we just leave that one the way it is in statute, I don't have a problem with number one because I think number one clarifies, you know, makes a clarification that may help finish. Yeah.
They're liable anyways. It
it's just a flag.
Sure.
It's a red flag.
Sure.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
So we'll go back to the original language, is what you said.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, if there's any way to work it out, we'd like to get it worked out. I mean, we read the letter being fairly accurate. I hadn't heard the other piece of it. So we're just trying to do whatever we can to get the bill.
Well, you understand, Ms. Bigler is not, I mean, and this is, this, this, I was going to say she's not unreasonable on this issue, I'm not sure if I want to say that, but her feeling is that this was all ironed out last year, that the happy hour legislation was a major victory for Mothers Against Drunk Driving and like organizations, and that she is not amiable at this point, doesn't feel that there's any legitimate reason to try to change it. And that's basically the gist of it. So I asked her, I said, is there anything about this bill that you, she said, no. There's nothing here I think is necessary. So.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Any further matters coming before the committee?
Nope.
Seeing none?
Okay, I have a question.